The Workday Replay from Money FM 89.3.
This is Career 360 on Money FM 89.3, where we have a look at the manpower sector here. Also, your career and lifelong learning. Now, with the digital economy taking off globally, the tech industry has more jobs than it can fill by 2020. There'll be something like 1.4 million computing job openings in the US alone, but only 400,000 graduates with the necessary skills to fit them. So you do the math. Programs such as BSA, the Software Alliance's Girls Can Code, help to inspire action and show young women that there is a place in STEM for them, in tech, and certainly in the software industry. I want to find out more from Annabel Lee, who's policy manager at BSA, the Software Alliance. Annabel, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much, and it's lovely to be here.
Perhaps tell us a bit about what BSA, the Software Alliance, does.
Absolutely. So BSA, the Software Alliance, is a DC-based advocacy alliance for the software industry. So we represent a huge number of members from the software sector. Lots of names you're probably very familiar with, like Microsoft, IBM. Also, maybe a couple of names you're less familiar with, like Splunk, Salesforce, most recently Slack, which is a messaging app.
Help us out then, Annabel, and tell us why there's a need to close this gender gap in the tech sector. Is it just out of necessity? We earlier talked about how just in the US alone, 1.5 almost jobs will be available in this sector, but only less than 500,000 graduates will be able to fill them.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I think the first issue with, as you've alluded to, is the fact that women make up 50% of the population. But today in most countries, women are the minority in the technology sector. So take, for example, in the US, we're looking at about 25% of the technology sector being filled by women. Even in Asia, so in Japan, in Korea, we're looking at 13%, 16% respectively. In Singapore, we've got about a third. So that's about 30% of our population in the technology industry, according to IMDA statistics. Now, what's very interesting about this is that, lots of universities are currently running more and more courses in technology, and these courses are still being dominated by men, boys, depending on the age.
But it sounds like we might need to head back a wee bit, because I remember reading another study, I can't really quote it though, so anecdotally it sounds as though girls start to veer off the tech route, if you will, or STEM route, mm-hmm. quite early, before their teens even.
Yeah, definitely. So I think one of the things that we see, and I think part of what the work that BSA has done with our sister organization, software.org in the US, is try to identify some of the reasons or the issues for why girls at a younger age may think that maybe technology is not the route for them, and they start to veer off STEM education, or they just don't factor in technology as a career path. A lot of the time, it's really just not understanding and not being aware of the kinds of jobs that are available in the technology sector. I think traditionally, the idea of the technology sector has always been very much technical, engineering, technician-driven jobs, men in offices just never seeing the light of day. Tech sector's obviously not like that anymore. We've got extremely vibrant and innovative companies, and most of our members are that way as well. And so I think even though the image of the tech sector is changing, the mindsets have taken some time to catch up. And I think one of the challenges for girls, especially when they're at the crucial age of deciding what their career path should look like, they may not take into account the kinds of jobs that are available in the tech sector, namely because they don't know what's there. They don't have a lot of role models as well, perhaps. Not a lot of women they know are in the tech sector. And the ones who do, maybe they do coding jobs, and so they don't really know what that means. And so eventually they'll start thinking, maybe I should do HR, maybe I should do comms, maybe I should do something in the social sciences, and they stop thinking about STEM. Now, what's very interesting that we've seen actually, maybe even in the last 5 years, but certainly going forward, is that more and more people are realizing that a technology sector job is not just only having a STEM education degree or qualifications. In fact, increasingly, what we see is a huge diversity of jobs coming out. So you could have a background in the arts, and you could be a fine arts student. One of my friends is that has that background, and then apply that in a technology technology sector job, like in UX design. So this is user experience design, you know, and trying to understand how, you know, someone who would be a creative person would be able to try and improve the experiences of users and you know, kind of making sure that a website is easy to use and that users have a good experience overall.
So it sounds like a happy occurrence that now women can benefit from.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think, you know, as much as it is important to encourage girls to understand why, you know, STEM education is a very valid route and option for them, it's perhaps even more important to help them, you know, meet some of these role models, people who have done amazingly interesting things with their careers and haven't started out in what I would, or perhaps the next person would consider, you know, a traditional technology type degree job. Now, that being said, you know,
we still do want women in those traditional tech
absolutely.
Jobs.
And I think those jobs are converging. So, you know, as time goes on, what we'll see is that more and more people will need to have a combination of those backgrounds. Our universities in Singapore, as well as internationally, are starting to offer cross-cutting degree courses. So it usually covers both technology and philosophy and the social sciences, so on and so forth, and the arts, because I think increasingly, you know, with emerging technology like AI, we do need to have a variety of skill sets present so that people can think of the multiple facets of technology and how it would impact humans as we interact with it.
And that sounds like why there needs to be a diversification in the tech workforce.
Definitely.
Starting, of course, with having more women join.
Yeah. So I think already a lot of companies recognize this, you know, that women do bring something perhaps a bit different to the industry. So research generally shows that diverse teams perform better, and the benefits of having diverse and inclusive work culture in the talent pool, you know, you almost can't measure what the additional add-on benefit is. And you know, this is not only gender limited, obviously having people from different races, from different backgrounds, different socioeconomic groups and experiences will bring together different perspectives that can lead to innovative solutions. And, you know, as the technology kind of evolves, one of the most important things is responding to how people use technology in different ways. 50% of the world's population are women. And so if you couldn't, if you didn't bring more women into the workforce, you're going to lose out 50% of your market share, basically,
yeah.
Because, you know, they're going to be using, women are going to be using a piece of technology and not feeling perhaps that it's as intuitive or as useful or doesn't meet their needs, you know, perhaps as compared to a man who's using that technology.
Annabelle, we talked about how perhaps girls just don't know what kinds of jobs are available to them in the tech sector. Also, people say, you know, the fish stinks from the head. So beyond the C-suite, though, helming change, what can be done from, say, an organizational standpoint?
Definitely. So I think from an organizational standpoint, what we've found is that many businesses, you know, may not have built-in processes to address, and I will broadly call this what women need when you think about hiring, progression, promotion, so on and so forth. You know, and so we do see that there has been gradual mindset changes, but I think in most of the societies that we live in, certainly in Asian societies, the general idea that women ought to be the caregivers and the caretakers still prevails. And I think one of the big challenges with that mindset being prevalent is that women who enter the workforce might therefore be seen by their employers as, you know, potentially being, you know, splitting their attentions, you know, not being 100% focused on work because they have to take care of the family. Now, that's not entirely true. And in a place like Singapore, we see more and more women entering the workforce and, you know, perhaps men taking on more what I would consider traditional women gender role type caretaking roles. But at the fundamental cause of it, you need to think about, you know, having that mindset change at an organizational level. So that's probably the first thing.
That's a tough sell, though. Uphill task, I think, Annabelle. You know,
I mean,
C-suite's still made up of majority men.
Absolutely. And I think that's why it's all the more important for companies to kind of recognize that as and where they can, identifying areas or policies within their own organizational structure to bring in more women, whether it's into the C-suite room, whether it's, you know, just in terms of at middle management as well, because I think that ultimately, you know, all along the chain, the organizational chain, there needs to be an understanding and needs to be women at the right points to be able to also encourage other women and also, you know, kind of advocate for the women in their in their organization to the C-suite level. So I think
again, though, uphill task, it sounds like they first need to, though, be convinced that there are benefits to have more women in their organization.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the technology sector is primed to kind of, revolutionize the way things are done. Because first of all, I think in a lot of technology sector jobs today, what we see is a kind of very flexible work culture. I mean, you could take your work home, you could work from home, you could work remotely. And so that actually means that people can, arrange their lives in a slightly different way as well. So it makes it easier as well for, I think, the technology sector to kind of send a very clear signal that more women in technology, more women in work, and in various industries, is something that they want to go for. And I think we've seen that a lot. And the technology sector, to a greater or lesser extent, does recognize this. But as you say, absolutely, it's an uphill task. This will take time. And so at this point in time, it's 2019 now, I think we need to think about how we can get the conversation started, not only at the C-suite level, not only at the middle managers who are already in employment, but we also need to think about how we can help students understand this. People in university, girls in university, think about how they want to make a change as well. And I think that's why, initiatives like Women in Tech, like Girls Who Code in the US, so important, because it helps to build these communities and create these conversations and help everybody in the chain understand that, this is something that is important and that you need more women in technology to make your solutions better.
What do you think women can do, though, short of changing the way we would like to live to fit a patriarchal idea of how work should be?
So I think one of the most important things to my mind is just really showing that being a woman, you can bring something to the table. You need not necessarily be different from a man, but if you have a different perspective and you can articulate that perspective well, I think that's something that, as a woman, just in any role that you're in, at any level, it's so important. One of the, challenges is that, as we've spoken, there's institutional design that's already in place and it's going to be harder. So it's really important as a woman to also find these opportunities to speak up and join communities where, you get a kind of collective voice and you're able to speak up together and share experiences, and I think that women have found ways to make things work in various, in their job roles in life and how to balance. So these conversations in community, in areas like Women in Tech, Girls Who Code, I think it's so important to continue having those conversations with other women and then having those conversations with men. And I think one of the most important things to recognize is that I don't think men start out, hopefully, with the idea that they don't want to hire a woman because, a woman is, and, certain prejudices as well. So I think it's about, making sure that you find men in the industry as well who are extremely or as supportive as the women who they hire, who they work with, and to help push this message out further as well.
You can check out what Annabelle does at bsa.org. That's bsa.org. She is the policy manager at BSA, the Software Alliance. Annabelle Lee, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.